All right, James chapter 2, let's stand. We'll read verses 4 through 9 tonight. As is our custom, we'll read responsively. I'll read the even-numbered verses. Would you read the odd-numbered verses with me? James chapter 2, beginning in verse number 4. Are ye not then partial in yourselves, and are become judges of evil thoughts? Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith, and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him? But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before the judgment seats? Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by the which ye are called? If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit sin and are convinced of the law as transgressors. Father, please bless your word to our hearts. Lord, draw us closer to you tonight through these truths. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. And you have your lesson there. In our introduction, our last two lessons before our revival meeting, our last two lessons, we dealt with the command, blank line there, command not to be respecters of persons, or the prohibition against partiality. We're not supposed to be partial, ladies and gentlemen, amen. And so we looked in verse number 1 at the instruction. God tells us right there, have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, with respect of persons. And then, secondly, second bullet point there, we have not only the instruction, but we have the illustration. God gives us an illustration of a church, an assembly, where somebody comes in dressed all nice and everybody just has big smiles for them, and then somebody comes in not looking so nice and everyone says, well, you get out of, you sit over here. And then we have the investigation in verse number 4, and he talks about there, he asks a question, and we're going to pick up there in verse 4. So James, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we have a cross reference there, a cross reference, blank line, 2 Timothy 3:16. Would you go there with me? Hold your place there in James and go to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. If you don't have a Bible, look on with somebody who does. One of the most important verses in the entire Bible is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It tells us, by the way, have you ever heard somebody say, you know, the Bible's just full of contradictions? Ever heard somebody say that? By the way, a good response is, name one. Usually that's about the end of it. Because they're just parroting what they heard somebody say. Or they'll say, the Bible's full of errors. Okay, show me one. Well, I just know they're in there. Well, that certainly is not much of an argument, amen? This verse right here tells us how that we can have a book by 40 plus authors over 1,500 years without error. This verse, 2 Timothy 3:16. Look at what it says. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That's a great Greek word, that word inspiration. It's the Greek word theopneustos. And it means this, breathed by God. And there's this companion verse. We don't have time to go there. I'll quote it. You may want to write it down. Write down 2 Peter 1:21. And that tells us how we got our Bible. It says, for holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And I've often given this illustration. If I'm to write down something, as I wrote down many prayer requests, I took out my pen and I wrote things down. What did the writing? What told it what to write? The mind. God is the mind, man is the pen. That's why we can have a book that's free of error, and all God's people said. Amen. So we have James under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, cross-reference 2 Timothy 3:16, continues exposing the error of favoritism. The error of favoritism. So we have 3 points tonight. Roman numerals and several subpoints here. Number one, we have the questioning in verses 4 through 7. The questioning. James poses, blank line here, rhetorical questions. R-H-E-T-O-R-I-C-A-L. Rhetorical questions. Okay? Rhetorical questions are questions that answer themselves. And I've given this illustration before, but my dad would always ask me when I was a young person and the light was on in the dining room and I walked out, he'd say, "Were you the last one in there?" "No, Dad, I wasn't." And I, "No." "Yes, then turn off the light." He was asking a question that he already knew the answer to. Okay, James here poses these rhetorical questions in which the answers are obvious and show the readers the error of their thinking. Okay, remember, what's the problem here? Partiality. What's the problem? Favoritism. What's the problem? A respecter of persons. So James asks them some questions to show them the error of their thinking, of showing favoritism to the wealthy and despising the poor. Four questions, okay? The first one, number one, a question of condemnation. Okay, that's back in James chapter 2, verse number 4. Remember, he's given us the illustration of the two men that have come in. One's well-dressed, one's poorly dressed, one's treated well, one's treated poorly. And James says in verse 4, if you do that, are ye not then partial in yourselves and become judges of evil thoughts? What's the answer to that question, by the way? Yes. Yes. Okay? So it's a question of condemnation. We literally condemn ourselves as being judges of evil thoughts, being partial. Secondly, in verse 5, it says, "Hearken, my beloved brethren," and he asks another question. "Hath not God chosen the poor of this world rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he hath promised to them that love him?" So, number one, a question of condemnation. Number two, a question of choosing. God is the one who chose the poor to be rich in faith. And ladies and gentlemen, isn't that true? I will tell you this. It's hard to win a rich man to the Lord. You know why? He thinks he doesn't need God. True or false? True. Amen. That's what he thinks. It's easy to win a poor man to the Lord. He sees heaven as so bright and glorious and says, "Boy, that sure be nice. Sure be wonderful." And so it's a question of choosing. God has chosen to bless the poor with richness and faith. You know, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Okay? So, a question of condemnation, a question of choosing. And then in verse 6, look at it. It says, "But ye have despised the poor. Do not rich men oppress you and draw you before judgment seats?" We have a question of cruelty. How many of us remember the parable that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 18? It was the parable of the unforgiving servant. You remember what happened. A man owed a debt of 10,000 talents. And what was going to happen to him? His Lord commanded that he be sold and his wife and his children till the debt be paid. And James here is trying to say, look, it's not the poor that do that to you. It's those that are rich. Don't we see that today? The rich man and his usury, and all God's people said. If there's advice I give to young people that are considering getting married, it's stay away from credit cards and high interest loans. It's not the poor people that are doing that, amen. It's the rich that bring them before the judgment seat. So it's a question of condemnation. It's a question of choosing. It's a question of cruelty. And then the last question about the rich man is in verse 7. Do not they blaspheme that worthy name by which ye are called? It's a question of cursing. It's a question of cursing. That rich man that blasphemes God, that earns a living by breaking the commandments of this book. It's not the poor man. It's the rich man. And James is saying, why are you partial to him? Why are you partial to him? And by the way, the answer is pretty obvious because you think you can get something out of it. Amen? Very true. We don't like that, but it's true. Okay? So we have the questioning, Roman numeral number one. Number two, praise God for this, we have the blessing. We have the blessing. Look at verse 8 of James chapter 2. It says, "But ye have despised the poor." I'm reading verse 6. Verse 8. "If ye fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well." So we see three things in this particular text here. First of all, number one, we see the choice. Each one of us has a choice to obey God or to disobey God. By the way, there's consequences already determined by God that are attached to each one of those things. But it says that, what's the first word of verse number 8? If. You know what that means? There's a choice. There is a choice that each one can make. So he says here, if. The blessing. Number two, we have not only the choice, but we have number two, the commandment. What's the commandment? And I love this term, by the way, the royal law. Have you ever heard somebody say, I keep the letter of the law, but what's the spirit of the law? Amen? The letter of the law may be 25 miles an hour in town. The spirit is, be careful, there's kids around. Amen? The letter of the law is, ye should love your neighbor as yourself. Go with me if you would. Let's go to the couple cross references. Go all the way back in your Bibles to Leviticus. And let's look and see where this commandment is first given. Leviticus. Oh, the book of Leviticus. Chapter number 19. This is an oft-quoted verse in the New Testament. Our Lord quoted it several times. Leviticus chapter 19, look at verse number 18. Here we're into the laws of holiness and justice and all the different things that God has to say here. And there's a lot of thou shalt nots. And by the way, not every thou shalt not is there just to bother you. Amen? Some thou shalt nots are there. All of them are there because we have a heavenly Father that loves us. Amen? Doesn't want us to make a mess of our lives. Verse 18, it says, thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people. Boy, that'd be a good one to obey. Amen. And then he says this, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he finishes it off with this statement, just in case there's any scoffers out there. I am the Lord. I meant what I said. You're supposed to love your neighbor as thyself. Okay, so go over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 in the New Testament. And this really deals with what James is talking about here in James chapter 2, and that is partiality. Romans chapter 12, look at verse 9 if you would. Romans 12, 9. Great verse. It says, let love be without dissimulation. Let love be without dissimulation. You know what that really means? Don't just pick who you love. That's the way we are. We can kind of get into that mode of what I call Burger King Christianity. Burger King Christianity is have it your way. Burger King Christianity is the jumbo buffet. Well, I like this, so I'll take some of that, but I don't like this. Listen, God puts a good meal on our plate, and we're supposed to eat it all. Amen. We don't just get to pick and choose. By the way, I love the jumbo buffet. I'll be glad to go there with you and fellowship with you. Amen. But not about obeying God. Amen. God gives us His Word. He says, let love be without dissimulation. And so, on your outline there, the second great commandment is the antidote for favoritism. Remember, they came to Jesus, and we have a blank line there, cross reference, if you would. Write these verses down, and we'll go there. Matthew 22, 36 through 40. Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 through 40. And many of you that know your Bibles will recognize this exchange here. Matthew 22, verses 36 through 40. I'm going to just go ahead and start reading. You get there, catch up when you could. Verse 35 actually says, "Then one of them, which was a lawyer," and by the way, that's not a modern divorce lawyer, it's somebody that knew the Scriptures, knew the law, "asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment.'" And no one would argue with that. To love God is the first and great commandment, okay? "And the second is like unto it," he says. "And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." By the way, you could take the Ten Commandments and divide them into these two commandments. If you will keep the first and great commandment, you'll not break any of the first four commandments. Because you love God. You'll not make a graven image. You'll not bow down to it. You'll not use the Lord's name in vain. You'll remember the Sabbath. And if you'll keep the second great commandment, you'll not steal from your brother. You'll not kill him. You'll not covet what he has. And on we could go. Okay? So he's saying here, the second great commandment, loving thy neighbor as thyself, is the antidote for favoritism. Go over with me to Luke chapter 10. You should have another cross reference there. Luke chapter 10. Great story here. We know this. My kids could tell me this. They learned this, I think, with you, Mrs. Harmon, on the parables, the parable of the Good Samaritan. And Eric came home and he told me all about it. He told me how old the Good Samaritan was and what he was wearing and what his social security number was and how many Visa cards he had stolen from him that day. And this is a great story, but it all revolves around this second great commandment. Okay? Story Jesus gives. He teaches a parable. Verse 25 again, "And a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?'" By the way, it's a flawed question. You don't have to do anything to inherit eternal life. You just have to receive Christ. "But he said unto him, 'What is written in the law, and how readest thou?' And he answering said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor?'" Listen, if I've got to love my neighbor as myself, I want to know who he is. "And Jesus answering, said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest, a religious man, that went by the way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan..." By the way, the Samaritans were half-breeds with the Jews and the pagans. And the Jews despised the Samaritans. So much so that they would go 80 miles out of their way to not walk through Samaria. By the way, 80 miles is a big deal to drive. It's an even bigger deal to walk. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him upon his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, 'Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee.' Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves?" And he said, "He that showed mercy on him." Then said Jesus unto him, "Go and do thou likewise." He said, loving your neighbor as yourself is the key against partiality. You know what happened to those religious ones? They went by and they looked on them and they were partial. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I can be just as guilty, and all God's people said, we sure can. So we see the choice. We see the commandment. Thirdly, we see the commendation. The commendation. What's the commendation? Back in verse number 8 of James chapter 2. It's right at the end of the verse. It says, if ye fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, ye do well. So if you make that choice to obey that commandment, you get commended by God. He said, you do well. You're not going to be partial if you fulfill the royal law. Lastly tonight, Roman numeral number 1, the questioning. Roman numeral number 2, the blessing. Roman numeral number 3, the transgressing. The transgressing. What's the transgressing in verse 9? But if ye have respect to persons, ye commit what, folks? Sin. And are convinced of the law as transgressors. James isn't telling us here we lose our salvation. But I think what he's telling us is we're not as spiritual as we think we are. We're not as spiritual as we want to think we are, and maybe that we want other people to believe. So on your outline there, James again pulls no punches. As we've said so many times, spiritually he bloodies our nose. He pulls no punches by stating unequivocally that those that are who are respecters of persons are guilty of sin. Those that are respecters of persons are guilty of sin. So you know what, folks? Let's just fulfill the royal law. Let's love our neighbor as ourselves. Let's not look down on somebody. Let's bend a knee and get down and help somebody. That's what they missed, amen? That's what they missed. Heavenly Father, we love You. Thank You for Your blessings unto us. We pray that You would bless this lesson to our hearts tonight. Lord, we thank You for the wonderful things You teach us in Your Word. Lord, help us not to be respecters of persons. Lord, help us to live for You with others in view. Lord, we'll be careful to give You the praise, honor, and glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Page 470. Brother Jeff, if you wouldn't mind stopping that recording there, we would appreciate that. Page number 470, Living for Jesus. Let's stand. We'll sing just a verse or two here of Living for Jesus. Amen. Page 470, everyone standing. Amen. Let's live for Him today. Amen. Page 470, sing it out now. Living for Jesus.